This is Audible.
Introduction. It seems like everyone I know these days is way too stressed out. Whether they're patients, friends, or colleagues, I hear the same complaints from all of them. They're tired. They're anxious. They're working too much on not enough sleep. They have too many responsibilities, but not enough energy. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Everyone is completely drained. Adding insult to injury, the drain they're experiencing also manifests as symptoms in their bodies. There's weight gain, irritable bowel syndrome, ulcers, you name it. Stress leads to illness and disease. The worst part is that the true solutions to these problems are both elusive and confusing. Turn to prescription anti-anxiety or sleeping pills, and there's a risk of dependence or making the problem worse in the long run. Many people are interested in natural remedies, but it's hard to know which ones actually work and which ones are just hype. That's why I've written this book, to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. I've created this comprehensive guide to healing drained brains because people need answers. All the depleted and downtrodden people out there are in desperate need of a solution. The natural and clinically proven strategies in this book have helped me successfully treat even the most extreme and shocking cases of drained brains. I've had so many patients who've come to me as a last resort after going to countless doctors who haven't been able to help them. Case in point. I recently treated two women with drained brains that included potentially life-threatening symptoms. Both were at the end of their proverbial ropes after no specialist could help. One had so much tension in her mind and body that she was unable to eat solid food. Her body would involuntarily regurgitate anything she ate, so she had been fed exclusively through a feeding tube for years. The other had a paralyzing phobia of needles, which was so intense she hadn't been to a doctor for years and had paid to be put under general anesthesia for simple blood work. I treated both women after they reached out for help to the show I was working on, and their journeys were shown on national television. As these women told me their stories, I realized that they, like so many people these days, were in dire need of hope. When none of the long line of doctors they'd visited provided treatment that worked, it compounded the problems and drained them even more. This led to a downward spiral that I knew could lead to serious illness or even death. My initial goal was to give both women a sense of hope. In my first session with the woman who couldn't eat solid food, I taught her a tool you'll learn in this book. Diaphragmatic breathing. It worked so well that at the end of the session, she reported feeling hopeful for the first time in years. With a woman who had a paralyzing phobia of needles, I helped her reprocess the traumatic event that had led to her phobia while using cognitive behavioral therapy, a form of which you'll learn in this book as well. And so began their journeys to recovery. Moral of the story, if the antidotes in this book worked for their extremely drained brains, I know they will work for you. I also know it's not just the people with extreme symptoms who need help. A few weeks after I worked with these ladies, I was surprised to learn that all the producers who worked on this segment were also using diaphragmatic breathing. I was thrilled when one of them told me, "Wow, that really works. I can't tell you how much I needed that." Even the successful and never let them see you sweat types are secretly yearning for something to help them manage the stresses of everyday life. The takeaway here is that there are indeed potent and clinically effective ways to heal a drained brain, and they're all here. I've combed through all the latest and greatest research and found the most effective, natural ways to heal stress, anxiety, exhaustion, and insomnia. In addition to learning about how your hormones affect your mood and your overall health, you'll learn practical tools such as energy-based cognitive therapy, a protocol I created specifically for people who feel drained, which combines traditional and mind-body solutions. You'll also find a unique three-level version of the clinically proven non-drug treatment for insomnia, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, or CBTI. These solutions are incredibly multifaceted. You'll also get tools like autogenic training and progressive muscle relaxation to help you dissolve tension in your body. In addition to these techniques, I take you into your diet to show you what foods help you stress less and what foods help you sleep more soundly. I also jump into the hidden world of the gut bacteria that manufacture feel-good neurotransmitters and teach you easy ways to incorporate gut-healthy foods into your diet. It's likely that doing just one of these things won't stop you from feeling drained, but putting them all together, you harness the power of combination therapy. You know the old saying, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts? The two-week program in this book combines strategies that address mind, body, and spirit. The end result? Less drain, more balance. When you balance your brain, you experience countless rewards. You have more energy, you feel normal or like yourself again, you sleep more soundly and wake up looking forward to the day ahead. I know that when brains are balanced, people begin to create the lives they've always dreamed about. They become happier and healthier. They're more successful in their careers and their relationships. I can't wait for you to become the best version of yourself, and I look forward to the life you will create when you are no longer drained. Part 1. The Big Drain. Chapter 1. An Epidemic of Drained Brains. Sally felt like her life had been hijacked by stress, grief, and the unpredictability of our modern world. 5 years ago, when she was 52, her youngest child was shot and killed in the line of duty as a police officer. Her mother had recently been diagnosed with dementia and was also recovering from hip surgery. Although Sally and her husband had been saving for their retirement, the recent ups and downs of the economy and general uncertainty of the world made them nervous about their future. Their health insurance premium and medication costs had doubled in the past few years. And since Sally's mother didn't have long-term care insurance, they worried about how they would afford the round-the-clock care they might need for her down the road. Sally worked a full-time job in addition to being her mom's primary caretaker. After her son passed away, Sally became a chronic worrier. When something horrible and unpredictable happens to someone close to you, you feel as though something terrible could happen at any moment. In fact, you begin to look for anything that could go wrong. And headlines seem to validate her fears and exacerbate her anxiety. Ripples of anxiety affected Sally psychologically, physically, and spiritually. She felt jumpy and worn out during the day, and at night, her sleep suffered. She had insomnia and periodic bouts of nightmares. Her anxiety also changed the way she perceived the world and life itself. She had visited various specialists to help her with an increasingly long list of complaints: insomnia, anxiety, indigestion, upset stomach, and a general lack of energy. When Sally and I started to work together, she said, "I just wish I could feel peaceful again and I wish I could shut off my worrying mind. I wanted to hear more. What did she worry about? I worry that my mom isn't going to be okay, or that we will run out of the money we need to give her the care she deserves, she said. I worry that every time I feel sick, I have some life-threatening illness. Every week, there's some new symptom I notice. I never used to be a hypochondriac, but I am now. I'm just so run down all the time. Sally, it must feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. I can hear how heavy it is to walk around feeling like bad things are about to happen at any moment. It is, she exclaimed with tears in her eyes, and I'm so tired of feeling this way. I tell myself to think positively, but it doesn't seem to work. I've tried so many meds. Some of them work okay, but they make me feel even more tired. I've gained 30 pounds in the past 2 years. I barely have the energy to get through most days, let alone exercise. I'm starting to believe I'll never feel like my old self again. I used to be a pretty happy and carefree person. I felt tremendous compassion for Sally. She was being robbed of a vibrant, well-lived life by a drained brain. Treating her brain was essential to help her get back her life in the short term and preserve her health in the long term. While the short-term effects of being drained, anxiety, energy depletion, and insomnia are uncomfortable, the long-term effects can be life-threatening. Living in a perpetually drained state increases the risk of dying from a heart attack, stroke, or cancer. Treating a drained brain is as vital for your physical health as it is for a healthy state of mind. A drained world. Sadly, Sally isn't alone in feeling like her brain has been drained. When you look at the statistics, it's clear that many people are experiencing the type of stress that leaves them feeling drained. As of 2017, the American Psychological Association found the first significant increase in the average level of stress in Americans since their nationwide survey was launched in 2007. On a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being little or no stress and 10 being a great deal of stress, the overall average reported stress is now 5.1. Anxiety-related disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, with 350 million people affected worldwide. They affect 18.1% of the population in a given year, which is twice as many people as mood disorders like depression. An even higher number experience anxiety but don't meet the criteria for a diagnosable anxiety disorder. People with anxiety are 4 times more likely to develop high blood pressure, the leading cause of death worldwide. Postmenopausal women who have panic attacks have triple the number of stroke or coronary events like heart attacks. People with heart disease are twice as likely to have a heart attack if they also have anxiety. 50 to 70 million Americans currently suffer from sleep disorders. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 30% of Americans report symptoms of insomnia, and 50 million Americans report an insufficient amount of sleep. Insomnia is responsible for an estimated $63.2 billion in lost workplace productivity. Sales of both over-the-counter and prescription sleep aids are skyrocketing. In just 5 years, the number of prescriptions written for sleeping pills in the United States increased by over 10 million prescriptions, 47 million in 2006, 60 million in 2011, according to IMS Health. They're causing more problems than ever. From 2005 to 2010, there was a 220% increase in emergency room visits due to the sleeping pill Ambien. New research shows that prescriptions for anti-anxiety benzodiazepines like Klonopin, Valium, and Xanax tripled between 1996 and 2013 in the U.S., while fatal overdoses from these drugs quadrupled. According to the CDC, benzodiazepines account for 30% of prescription overdose deaths. Drained citizens of the modern world. It doesn't take something as tragic as a severe illness or the unexpected death of a loved one for you to experience the stress that results in becoming drained. It can be the loss of a job, bankruptcy, a chronic illness, the end of a marriage, child custody battles, losing your shirt as many people did during the housing crisis or the recent ups and downs of the global economy. Everything has changed, and it doesn't seem to be stopping. There seems to be no certainty about the future. A lack of predictability is evident even in modern elections. Polls have failed in accurately predicting the future. Mortgages are harder to qualify for. There are now more renters as fewer people own homes than in generations past. Millennials are less interested in owning homes than previous generations, which may buy freedom by sacrificing long-term stability. Rents have shot up in many cities. Commutes have gotten longer, and the average American who is employed full-time works an hour and a half more per week than they did a decade ago. With so many baby boomers retiring and people living longer, Social Security, which many Americans depend on to cover basic living expenses, is in danger of running out of money. Brexit and a surprising U.S. presidential election outcome sent global markets on an unpredictable roller coaster ride, so even people who put money in a retirement account every year don't know how much they'll have left in their nest egg when they're ready to retire. Pensions, the hope of Social Security for future generations, and Cadillac health insurance plans that cover nearly all your medications and doctor visits are disappearing. The cost of medications used to treat chronic illnesses have risen by 100, 200, 500% or more. Healthcare laws are changing rapidly. We're more likely to live alone than in generations past, and so more people feel like they have to handle everything by themselves. There are more single parents trying to make ends meet. New businesses and tech startups go bust more often than they succeed, and the globalized economy also means a cutthroat world with razor-thin profit margins. Communities, countries, and political parties have become more polarized than at any time in recent history, and the disagreements have even led to anger and volatility. It seems when one part of the world recovers economically, another region fails. The American stock market feels the ripples from Greece. A terrorist attack in Paris affects the Asian economies. When the UK votes to exit the EU, European markets nosedive, but so do the American and Asian markets. While big, clear-cut traumas and fears can certainly drain brains, more often in our modern world, the problem is also instigated by the subtle ways our world has changed. Visible changes in our food supply. Streaming video services that have made sitting on the couch the new international sport. Rapid-fire dating apps, which some people use as a short-term substitute for lasting connections that help us deal with stress. And the way we interact with media all contribute to the global epidemic of drained brains. The blinking lights on our cell phones create a non-stop false sense of emergency, and stress hormones spike as we check our emails, texts, and social media accounts before we even get out of bed. The processed foods more and more people around the world are eating don't just contribute to weight gain, diabetes, and dementia. They can shrink the brain's hippocampus, a part of the brain that helps us remain resilient in the face of stress. Our busy lives rarely include time for the activities that have been shown to help protect the brain, like exercise, meditation, or sauteing a healthy meal. Of course, stress and lack of sleep also create neurochemical states that make us more likely to overeat and zone out with social media and TV, which create downward spirals. Stress hormones run too high and feel-good ones run low. Sleep problems result since stress can extinguish sleep-wake rhythms. And of course, the more sleep-deprived you are, the more stress, anxiety, and energy problems affect you the following day. Is it any wonder more and more people around the world turn to solutions like Xanax and Ambien regularly? It seems everything we experience in our day-to-day lives, from our smartphones that wake us to the foods we eat all day long to the jobs we spend years of our life on, is set up to drain us. Brain drain pain. So what exactly does it feel like to be drained? If you have a drained brain, you feel anxious, frazzled, and fatigued. You may say you're at the end of your rope. The proverbial gas tank of your brain that is usually filled with resilience, faith, patience, and perseverance is now running on empty. While your brain has a pretty amazing capacity to deal with challenges, it can become overloaded. When that happens, the world becomes overwhelming, both on the large and small scale. In the bigger picture, world events seem impossible to deal with, and in your personal life, every obligation or relationship or organized outing feels overpowering. Your body holds tension, and your brain generates worry. Sleep, concentration, and motivation become problematic. Psychological worry leads to physical consequences. Chronic conditions, everything from heart disease to cancer to digestive issues, are exacerbated, and new diseases are more likely to develop. This problematic response makes everyday tasks difficult, and you just wish you had a break. Though, it takes a bit more than a simple break to recover. There is another condition that has similar symptoms, brain fog. And I think it's important to differentiate between these two so you make sure to treat the condition you actually have. Both brain drain and brain fog cause problems with mood, energy, attention, and sleep. And both can lead to self-medication in the form of drinking or overeating. While brain-drained individuals often experience anxiety, people with brain fog often become depressed. They have a muddy depression that leaves the world looking gray, as opposed to the bright orange-hued world of someone with a drained brain. Brain fog is also more closely associated with the accumulation of plaques in the brain that can cause senior moments or dementia. While energy problems are common in both conditions, the fatigue that comes with brain fog is the result of a brain that's slowing down or becoming clouded with inactivity. For people with a drained brain, the lack of energy is caused by too much activity in the brain, which leads to an overactive sympathetic nervous system and the exhaustion phase of the stress response. Even though brain drain and brain fog are different conditions, they do often go hand in hand. Brain fog can lead to brain drain and vice versa. When you start to notice memory problems and brain fog, you may start to feel anxious and worry about your future. Now you're feeling drained in addition to experiencing fog. Or you're chronically drained, which means high levels of a stress hormone that reduces blood flow to the brain, which can eventually lead to brain fog in its worst form, Alzheimer's disease. Untreated brain drain results in brain fog. As I noted before, even with the overlap, it's important to know which condition you're facing as you move forward. Each is caused by a unique imbalance in your symphony of hormones, and to tune up the orchestra, you need to know which ones to balance. If you're yearning for a sense of relief, peace, and a good night's sleep, so you can take back what the stress of modern living has taken from you, then brain drain may be your problem. Now, let's delve a bit more deeply into the hormone changes that occur when you have a drained brain. Chapter 2. A Symphony of Draining Chemicals. The week I began writing this book was the week of the horrific terror attacks in Paris at the Bataclan Concert Hall and other locations. That week, I was with two good friends who are both television producers in New York City. If there's one thing to understand about television producers, it's that they're used to dealing with stress 24 hours a day. Their job is to put out fires all the time. Because of this, producers tend to be the kind of people who are unfazed by crises and stress. In fact, they often move toward, not away from them. As I was talking to one of them, I was completely taken aback when she stopped me in the middle of our conversation about a TV segment she was producing and said, "I just can't take it. I mean, what is going on in our world? Paris? I think I may need to get a prescription for Xanax or something. I'm so anxious all the time now, and you know me, I'm used to stress. It's my job, so why am I freaking out?" That same week, my other friend told me about a trip she and her fiancé had planned. Months earlier, they had booked their first trip to Paris. It was going to be her first time going to Europe, but after the attack, their plans were ruined. She didn't feel safe visiting this beautiful city, so they canceled their trip of a lifetime, losing thousands of dollars and the chance to experience romantic moments they'd never forget in the process. What's draining your brain? Many psychological phenomena in our brains evolved to keep us safe, but now they often backfire as they intersect with the unpredictability of our modern world, draining our brains and leaving us feeling anxious, frazzled, and fatigued. My friends had fallen prey to the first of these, observational learning. What does this mean? It means that people who simply see trauma and the pain of other people begin to feel the emotions of those actually experiencing it. And this has been borne out in research. Studies have shown that when people watch others who are displaying cues of pain and negative emotion, they begin to display their own negative response. In fact, PTSD-like stress responses were present in people around the country who were nowhere near the Twin Towers on 9/11. While they were simply watching images, they experienced a stress response similar to people who directly experienced the events of that day. Research also shows more anxiety in people watching terrorism-related news compared with those watching other types of news. Life can be a careful balancing act of staying informed about what happens in the world, which is generally a strength, and protecting our brains from too much negative information. Just like subjects in these studies, both of my smart, capable producer friends had high levels of anxiety because of something that happened thousands of miles away. Unlike a survivor of physical or sexual abuse who experienced trauma firsthand, these women, like more and more people in the world these days, have higher levels of stress hormones as a result of observational learning. This phenomenon of observational learning paired with our modern world, which includes the 24/7 news cycle, news apps, and news channels that air footage of plane crashes, car crashes, and shootings, fuels this type of learned anxiety. While observational learning helps people stay safe, they don't have to directly experience a traumatic event to know to avoid it. This phenomenon may now be doing some people more harm than good. The next phenomenon draining our brains is called negative bias. Negative bias is the tendency for the brain to process and recall negative events more strongly than positive ones. If you touch a table and a hot stove for the first time, it's in your best interest for your brain to give priority to the memory of the hot stove over the table. Your brain is helping to keep you safe by remembering the negative event that resulted in a burned hand. By making the memory of this negative event stronger, you will likely avoid getting burned in the future. One prominent psychologist says the brain is like Velcro when it comes to negative experiences, but like Teflon for positive ones. You can see the power of negative bias even in where people focus their attention. In various studies, researchers found subjects spend more time looking at negative photographs than they do looking at positive ones. They also blink more when studying negative words than positive words, which is an indicator of a stronger reaction to information that can lead to fear. This helps explain the "if it bleeds, it leads" philosophy in news. You're paying attention means you staying glued to that channel. And of course, that means better ratings for that newscast. Research also shows that people reason and think more about negative events than positive ones. Peaceful confidence you once had is taken away as one defeat overshadows your plentiful successes. As your brain examines and stores these negative images, experiences, and words, it also drains itself by depleting your feel-good neurotransmitters and increasing stress hormones. And worse, as you dwell on these negative events throughout your day, your brain continues to drain. The next phenomenon that drains brains is called overgeneralization, which was the subject of a famous study in the 1920s. In this experiment, a toddler was exposed to a white rat while the researchers made loud and scary noises every time the toddler touched the rat. The toddler then began to fear not just white rats, but anything furry. This infant's brain was overgeneralizing, expanding the coding of fear to include similar sensory experiences, no matter how strong or weak they were. A peripheral sighting of a small white animal darting away would inspire fear just as much as an interaction with an actual white rat. The same may be true for you. If you got rear-ended and remember the loud sound of screeching tires right before impact, any slight sound of screeching tires, or even any similar sound, can activate the fight, flight, or freeze response in your brain. If your brain reacts in this way, molehills become mountains. How does this drain the brain? Overgeneralizing leads to more common activation of the stress chemicals that keep you fried and frazzled. The final two psychological phenomena of the brain drain puzzle are unpredictable danger paired with context conditioning. In our modern world, we are less likely to be able to predict danger, and this wreaks havoc on our brains. Just a few decades ago, war zones were commonly encountered only by soldiers. Now every civilian is in danger of stepping into one. Horrific mass killings take place at bars, movie theaters, holiday parties, churches, and schools. Unlike people during the last World War who knew to head to the air raid shelter after an alarm, many of our most horrific stressors have shifted from predictable to unpredictable danger. Why is this unpredictable danger associated with higher rates of drain? In both animal and human studies, unpredictable shocks are worse than predictable ones. In classic Pavlovian conditioning, a neutral stimulus, like a bell, is paired with an unconditioned stimulus, like food. The brain's unconditioned response, salivation, will then result after either stimulus. The same is true for negative events. Pair a tone with a shock, and you fear the tone as well as the shock. With unpredictable shocks, there tends to be more context conditioning, which means that your brain doesn't merely pair the tone with the shock, it pairs anything present in the environment at the time of the shock. What did the room look like when the shock occurred? What was the general feel or energy in the room like? These sense memories are stored, which can result in you fearing anything that was present when you had a negative experience. And this can operate at a conscious or unconscious level. This can turn you into an anxious person who is always on high alert, and you may go out of your way to avoid potentially fear-inducing situations. When you do so, you are less likely to be able to take advantage of the healing side of conditioning, extinction. Extinction is essentially the brain taking an eraser to the fear it had previously sketched. The brain draws fear in pencil, not permanent marker. If you continue to hear tones you used to associate with a shock and don't receive one, extinction eventually occurs. This process happens more gradually than the initial stimulus-response pairing process. This is why I treat patients with phobias using gradual exposure therapy. It takes longer for the brain to unlearn fear than it did to learn it. Using the power of extinction is one of many ways you will begin to heal your drained brain. When used in the right amounts at the right times, all of these phenomena can keep your brain in balance. When used too often or at the wrong times, they can do more harm than good. If you notice that you're feeling more and more drained, that's a signal that it's time to start rebalancing and replenishing your brain. Brain drain and your nervous system. Feeling drained is the result of an autonomic nervous system that is unbalanced. The autonomic nervous system takes care of automatics, like digestion, blood pressure, and healing. You don't have to consciously tell your body to digest your food after you eat or to release adrenaline to help you swerve out of the way of the car that slammed on its brakes. It takes care of these functions without conscious effort. The autonomic nervous system has two parts that are like the two sides of a seesaw, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system triggers your fight, flight, or freeze response, which releases the stress hormones adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol into the bloodstream. The other side of that seesaw is the parasympathetic nervous system, which restores you with a calm state of rest and digest. It is what's responsible for bringing your three stress hormones into normal range after they've spiked due to stress. In balanced brains, all three stress hormones go up together in times of stress and, thanks to the parasympathetic nervous system, gently come down like a wave falling because of hormones like acetylcholine and GABA. When cortisol levels go down, other brain balancers work well. For example, the anxiety reliever serotonin is able to work more effectively in the brain. Without stress hormones disrupting digestion, more brain-balancing neurotransmitters are made in your gut. This parasympathetic shift boosts your immune system, keeps digestion regular, and promotes healthy blood pressure. It's the feel-good rest and digest phase that's the hallmark of the parasympathetic nervous system. Your mood improves, and energy is steady and boundless. You know you will easily recover from stress, so you will feel resilient and confident. You wake up each day ready to face what lies ahead of you with excitement instead of dread. However, in drained brains, the sympathetic nervous system is dominant. This leads to perennially high levels of stress hormones and perennially low levels of feel-good ones. The stress hormones of a dominant sympathetic nervous system and feeling drained don't just leave you feeling worried and anxious. They rob you of energy. In fact, the end result of untreated brain drain is called the exhaustion stage. Hans Selye, who originated this meaning of the word stress in 1936, described the three stages of bodily response in what's called generalized adaptation syndrome. The first stage is alarm. During the alarm stage, the sympathetic nervous system takes over to mobilize the body and protect you from threat. This is the fight, flight, or freeze stage. If you've ever experienced the sensations of butterflies in your stomach, that's the physical sensation of blood flow being diverted away from your stomach and redirected into the organ systems and extremities that would assist you in running from a predator. In this stage, adrenaline primarily heightens the response of the body, norepinephrine primarily heightens focus in the mind. The second stage is resistance. In the resistance stage, the sympathetic nervous system remains dominant, so you can remain focused and alert to defend against perceived or actual threat. After the initial spike of adrenaline and norepinephrine, cortisol spikes take over to keep the accelerator pedal pressed. With a balanced brain, these spikes of stress hormones would be followed by the engaging of the parasympathetic nervous system, but when the seesaw remains tilted toward the sympathetic nervous system, the third and problematic stage of generalized adaptation syndrome is entered, exhaustion. In this stage, your resources are gone, you feel frazzled and fatigued, and you become vulnerable to disease. Cortisol stays high, or in some cases, it plunges and stays low. Either of these states wreak havoc on the body. Like high levels of cortisol, low levels are also problematic since cortisol can act as an off switch for other stress hormones. Cortisol also helps your body cope with prolonged stress by enabling it to maintain steady supplies of blood sugar, which would help supply a steady source of energy for a long-term stressor. People with low levels of cortisol experience extreme fatigue, sleeping problems, weakness, memory difficulties, impaired concentration, and electrolyte imbalances. When cortisol levels are too high, blood sugar levels rise, which can lead to diabetes. Inflammation, which can lead to disease, becomes more prevalent. Permanently high cortisol can also prevent serotonin, a brain-balancing, anxiety-relieving hormone, from binding to certain areas in the brain. It also restricts blood flow. As a result, anxiety, insomnia, and other symptoms become more pronounced. This leads to negative thought patterns that can trick your brain into thinking it's in danger all the time as it stews, worries, and looks for evidence that you're not safe or going to be okay. When the brain thinks there's danger, it produces more cortisol, and the draining downward spiral continues. The goal is to restore balance. Brain chemicals. Now that you understand how your nervous system is the culprit in draining your brain, let's look more closely at the chemical messengers associated with these two branches of your autonomic nervous system and how they can become unbalanced in a drained brain. First, we'll look at the three stress chemicals that drain the brain, and then we'll move on to six healthy brain balancers. Brain drainers. Adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol are the hormones associated with the sympathetic nervous system and its fight, flight, or freeze response. These hormones rev you into high gear, which can help save your life if you're in true danger, but they drain your brain and body when they stay high for too long. The levels should ideally look like the rise and fall of a wave. Your sympathetic nervous system takes these hormones up, and then the parasympathetic nervous system brings them back down. Adrenaline is responsible for the immediate, primarily physical reactions of the sympathetic nervous system. Your heart races, blood is diverted away from digestive function and towards the muscles, you breathe more rapidly, The small airways in the lungs open wide to take in more oxygen, and the blood's reserve of blood sugar and fats are released into the bloodstream to supply energy. Too much adrenaline can damage blood vessels and lead to heart attacks and strokes. Adrenaline is secreted by the adrenal medulla, located in the center of your adrenal glands. The adrenal medulla actually secretes the majority of your stress hormones. When activated by the sympathetic nervous system, the adrenal medulla produces a release of stress hormones made up of 80% adrenaline. Norepinephrine is responsible for the immediate, primarily mental reactions of the sympathetic nervous system. Your mind becomes sharp, focused, and vigilant. Like adrenaline, it also increases blood pressure and diverts blood flow away from digestion and into muscles. Norepinephrine accounts for the other 20% of the hormonal release from the adrenal medulla. Cortisol is responsible for your long-term stress response after the initial surge, adrenaline and norepinephrine subside. It keeps the sympathetic nervous system engaged by the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which includes the hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and adrenal glands. Cortisol is secreted by the cortex, which is the outside layer of your adrenal glands. There is also a healthy and mild cortisol rise, called the cortisol awakening response, that should occur every morning to help you wake up and get you going even if a stressor isn't present. The cortisol awakening response can spike too high when you're experiencing excess stress. If it doesn't rise enough, you can experience fatigue. Brain balancers. Acetylcholine, GABA, serotonin, melatonin, oxytocin, and endorphins are hormones and neurotransmitters associated with feelings of well-being, restful sleep, steady energy, and connection. In different ways, they all can help balance a drained brain. For example, acetylcholine brings heart rate back down after the brain drainers speed it up. Melatonin, in its inverse relationship with the brain drainer cortisol, helps you get restful sleep. Restful sleep can then help you keep stress hormones in check the following day. Healthy levels of GABA and serotonin make you less prone to worry and reactivity, which can prevent brain drainers from spiking too high in the first place. Although some aren't directly associated with the parasympathetic nervous system, there tends to be an inverse relationship with these feel-good chemicals and brain drainers. When these chemicals are in steady supply, the parasympathetic nervous system tends to be peaceful and the rest and digest state is dominant. Remember, this state is linked to general health and happiness. Acetylcholine is the chief neurotransmitter of the parasympathetic nervous system, helping to counteract the brain drainers. Adrenaline made your heart beat faster, now acetylcholine helps slow it down. By learning to activate your parasympathetic nervous system, you can naturally boost acetylcholine. GABA is the primary inhibitory neurotransmitter in the cortex that counteracts glutamate, which is an abundant excitatory amino acid found in your nervous system. Thus, this is another brain balancer that can turn down the volume when it has been turned up. GABA helps you feel relaxed and peaceful. When GABA levels are healthy, you can easily recover from stress. Low levels of GABA are also associated with the activated manic state in bipolar disorder and difficulty controlling impulses. Without this neurotransmitter, there is too much excitability or activation in the brain. Drained individuals often turn to benzodiazepines like Xanax, Klonopin, and Ativan to address their lack of GABA. Serotonin is one of your primary feel-good hormones. It counteracts anxiety and is associated with feelings of calmness, serenity, optimism, and self-confidence. While serotonin is manufactured primarily in your gut, sufficient levels of this hormone moving freely in the brain help you feel happy and calm. It binds more effectively in the brain when cortisol levels are low. Brain-drained individuals commonly are prescribed selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, like Prozac, Paxil, Lexapro, and Zoloft to address a deficiency of this hormone in the brain. By blocking the amount of serotonin that can be reabsorbed by one neuron, more of it stays in the space between neurons. Then more of the feel-good hormone travels to the next brain cell, leaving you feeling happy and calm. Melatonin helps you to maintain healthy sleep-wake rhythms and sleep well. It helps you get a good night's sleep and is also a potent antioxidant. In balanced brains, melatonin goes high at night when cortisol goes low, and vice versa in the morning. Oxytocin is the connection and cuddling hormone that helps you to bond to those you love. It allows you to form long-term relationships that can buffer you from stress. Endorphins are pain and anxiety-relieving chemicals. The word endorphin is short for endogenous morphine, but luckily, endorphins don't cause addiction or dependence like morphine does. When you feel peaceful, relaxed, and pain-free euphoria, your body may be pumping endorphins. In general, brain-drained individuals will have high levels of one or more of the brain drainers and low levels of one or more of the brain balancers. These combinations can make you prone to unique brain-draining symptoms and also make you more prone to specific mental illnesses. People low in acetylcholine may feel constant dread. Those with low GABA are prone to alcoholism and bipolar disorder. Low serotonin may lead people to feel anxious or perfectionistic and be prone to anorexia. Brain-drained individuals with low melatonin will have sleep disorders, and if you have low oxytocin, you may feel lonely or more prone to develop PTSD. And with low endorphins, you may be prone to pain, bulimia, or even self-mutilation. These levels may also predict what you may use to self-medicate. People with low GABA may try to use alcohol to feel at ease. Those with low serotonin may use sugar or processed carbohydrates since they release this hormone in the brain. Of course, it's usually more complex than this since hormones operate in a symphony that's unique for each person. The chemical footprints of drained brains. All right, let's look at some of the variations on levels of those brain drainers that result in you feeling fatigued, frazzled, and fried. Remember, in a balanced brain, adrenaline and norepinephrine spike as the primary wave as the result of encountering a stressor. Then cortisol spikes as the secondary wave. Both waves spike gradually and then fall gradually. However, in drained brains, this doesn't happen. There are four distinct subtypes, which I refer to as the light drain, the skyrocket drain, the drop drain, and the extreme drain. In the first two subtypes, adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol go high and stay high. The difference between light drain and skyrocket drain is how fast and how high the chemical levels go. In light drain, which accounts for the majority of drained brains, all three hormones rise quickly and stay relatively high. This is the garden variety drained brain. In cases of skyrocket drain, all three stress hormones surge very high, very quickly, and then stay there. With a brain that is skyrocket drained, panic attacks and extreme anxiety are often present. In drop drain, the stress hormones have a blunted response. They begin to rise, but then suddenly drop like a wave hitting a cliff. You feel stressed out initially, but then lack the energy to get through the stressor. In extreme drain, which is the worst case of brain drain, adrenaline and norepinephrine spike while cortisol remains low, leading to a state where you feel on edge but lack the energy that sufficient levels of cortisol provide. Extreme drain is often the result of untreated, milder forms of brain drain. It usually happens over time, but can also happen quickly after one extreme trauma in the case of PTSD. All these subtypes of drained brains are sympathetic nervous system dominant. This leads to perennially high levels of stress hormones and perennially low levels of feel-good ones. The good news is that balancing the brain, no matter what combination of chemicals you have, tends to be fairly one-size-fits-all, because most brains balance themselves out when given the right tools. That's what this book is all about, giving you those tools. Be aware, however, that there are three low cortisol conditions that this program does not treat. A rare condition called Addison's disease, primary adrenal insufficiency caused by damage to the adrenal glands, and secondary adrenal insufficiency caused by changes in the pituitary gland or the discontinuation of corticosteroids. Adrenal insufficiency can cause chronic fatigue, weakness, and weight loss, and can mimic some of the symptoms present in a high cortisol, brain-drained state. These conditions can be serious. They should be screened for and treated. If you have risk factors for these conditions, like a family history of them or recent discontinuation of corticosteroids, report any symptoms to your primary care physician or treating specialist. Should I test my cortisol levels? Most brain-drained conditions like anxiety are diagnosed by self-reported symptoms, and part of the reason for this is that hormones and neurotransmitters, including the brain drainers and brain balancers you've learned about, are difficult and or expensive to measure. However, cortisol levels can be easily measured by a fairly inexpensive saliva test that cost about $100. A diurnal cortisol test takes saliva samples at four different points during the day: upon waking, before lunch, before dinner, and before bed. This accounts for the cortisol awakening response. Cortisol should be higher in the morning and lower in the evening, and the 24-hour fluctuations of the stress hormone. Men and non-menstruating women can use this test any day of the month. Menstruating women should use this test during days 19 to 21 of the menstrual cycle to get an accurate read. Your test results can help you determine which of the above chemical footprints of drained brain are affecting you. If your levels are too high, you may be experiencing one of the first three footprints of a drained brain. If they are too low, but you are experiencing symptoms of a drained brain, this is an indication that cortisol has actually gone too low, while adrenaline and norepinephrine are likely too high. Regardless of whether you have a drained brain footprint that has cortisol that is mildly high, very high, blunted, or low, for example, light drain, the skyrocket drain, the drop drain, or the extreme drain, this program can help you balance your levels, except for the Addison's disease, primary adrenal insufficiency, or secondary adrenal insufficiency. The saliva-based diurnal cortisol test is available from ZRT Laboratory. Some states will allow you to buy a diurnal cortisol test from ZRT Laboratory directly, and this test is available online from Amazon and other vendors. Other states may not permit you to buy it directly, but may allow you to buy it after you sign up for a free membership of canaryclub.org. Once you complete the drained brain program in part 4, you may wish to do the diurnal cortisol test again to see how the levels have changed. Menstruating women will need to wait until the next optimal testing window of their menstrual cycle. That being said, most people will feel their brains balancing and can simply retake the drained brain quiz, which you'll take in a later chapter, to reassess their progress after completing the program. Positive stress. With all this talk of stress chemicals, I do want to point out that it isn't stress itself that's bad. It's an unbalanced brain that can't deal with stress. Even the brain drainers, while generally bad, are sometimes good, since they have a paradoxical effect when spikes are short-lived. Hans Selye didn't mean for the word stress to be negative. His definition is the non-specific response of the body to any demand or change. In fact, he later differentiated between eustress or positive stress and distress or negative stress. Positive stress can be helpful in our lives. For example, the stress of a reasonable deadline can sometimes be the best motivation to finish something. It spurs a short-lived adrenaline rush that